And here we go. Welcome in to another edition of Bucky and BK. Today is Tuesday, June 2nd, 2026. And the Buck and I are with y'all for the next 2 hours broadcasting from beautiful Lake Cliff Golf Club in Spicewood, Texas, USA, America. Plenty to dive into on today's program. Texas softball is headed back to the Women's College World Series Finals. They are playing Texas Tech yet again. We will talk all things Longhorn softball. We had a crazy day in the NFL, some major trades, some big free agent signings. We're going to dive into all of that. The Super Regionals are set in college baseball. We'll get into some Longhorn football conversation as well. We've got an updated ranking of the best coaches in college football. We've got some NHL with the Stanley Cup starting tonight. The NBA Finals are one day away. And, of course, the BBK news and why today is not so bad. So much to dive into on a Tuesday show. We appreciate y'all spending some of your Tuesdays with us. How are you today, my man?
I'm doing good. Having an opportunity to be here at one of my favorite golf courses in Central Texas, Lake Cliff, and it is a gorgeous day out here, BK. It's going to be special. It's going to be another hot one, folks. It's hot and steamy here over the next couple of days, but for those that love the rain, which I'm okay with, it is going to be absolutely something else here as Wednesday and Thursday and Friday come around. We'll have plenty of opportunities for some rain, but what a day today. And it's a wonderful place, and we love being out here. You know, Lori and Dave have been really good to us out here. You know, when we first started out as Texas Sports Unfiltered, I think this was our number one golf course that we came to.
Yep.
And did a show out here. And, you know, my good friend Gus is here this morning.
How about your guy Gus dropping off some ball markers?
Yeah.
Little poker chips.
Why don't you just give me a manhole cover? These are the ones that the guys put in front of my ball that throw up shooting up in the air.
You see what it says on the back? Governor of Texas, Gussie the Third.
Yes, of course.
Congratulations, Governor. I didn't realize.
Oh, yeah, he is the governor of Texas. He's not the mayor. He's the governor
of
the state.
We've got a new one in the state. I missed that election, I suppose.
Yeah, Gus and his beautiful wife moved out here a couple of years ago. They built a home on the hole number nine.
Might as well give the address out to everybody.
I don't want to give that out because there'll be a cooler out there that says Bucky's Bar. I don't need everybody coming out to the bar. That's where my freeloading friends stop off before they go to number 10.
Well, that'll be me today.
Yeah. At Bucky's Bar. And I do appreciate Shelly and Gus, and they've been wonderful folks to me, been a big part of the Mullet Open, which Gus didn't make this year. He didn't make the 25th annual Mullet Open.
He's the governor, man. He's got to be governor.
He can't be five places at once, I guess.
Exactly.
But it is a wonderful day out here, of course, and good day, as a matter of fact, to the soldiers at Fort Hood, Texas, the soldiers in the state of Texas, and all those that fight for us each and every day. We thank you for what you do for us. We appreciate you and your families, of course, sharing you with all of us. And do be safe out there. And everybody, as school is out, keep your head on a swivel, please, because the traffic, I was thinking that now the kids aren't in school and those extra cars aren't on the road. BK, everybody is out in a mad dash. You know, it's all the young kids going to look for jobs.
Yep.
Going door to door, as I say.
Probably not.
Knocking on doors trying to find jobs right now. But please keep your head on the swivel. People are moving around pretty good. And, you know, a lot of people not flying. A lot of people taking their automobiles to different places. So be careful as you travel around Central Texas for sure.
Yes, indeed. Shout out to Lake Cliff Golf Club. And how about this? Our guy Tyler, the head golf pro here.
Yes.
Has given us a certificate to give away on today's
show. Randomizer.
The randomizer is out. How about a free twosome at Lake Cliff Golf Club?
There you go.
Send us a text on the Coda text line, 512-222-9328, and you will be entered for your chance to win. Also, they've got tons of great summer clinics going on for the kiddos, tennis clinics, golf clinics. They've got cool off time. I mean, ages 7 to 14. If you're looking for a place to send the kiddos,
you want to get
summer,
rid of those kids for a week?
Mm-hmm.
This is a great spot because they have swimming out here, they have tennis, and they have golf, as a matter of fact. And you know the guys out here at the World of Golf. They used to be over at the Hills of Lakeway, and they are known throughout the country. And now we got people from all over the country coming out to Lake Cliff to join these guys in their clinics that they put on out here. They've got a facility out here that's absolutely magnificent, BK. Yeah,
the Academy of Golf
Academy
Dynamics.
Of golf, yes.
That's where I go to work on my game, and that's where you should go too. So a lot happening out at Lake Cliff, lakecliffgolfclub.com for more information. Check out the Academy of Golf Dynamics
This twosome for sure.
Grab this twosome. Yeah, your chance to win. This is not an easy place to play.
I see water right now.
Yeah, there's some water out there, and it will be a hot one today.
Yeah, by the way, Gus has a few dozen balls in that little pond that's right there on number 18.
I heard he goes and dives in after them.
He's going to get some scuba gear, he told me, and go get his balls out of there.
Someone's got to do it. They'll need to get a couple of mine after our round is done. But shout out to Laycliffe, and shout out to the Texas softball team, Buck.
Yes.
You know, we talked about it last week. The Longhorns dropped their opener in the Women's College World Series to Tennessee. And we said as soon as that game went final, Texas needed to win four consecutive elimination games to get back to the Women's College World Series. It felt like an incredibly tall task. Nothing is too tall for this Texas softball team.
Yeah, when we talked about that last week, when you said, well, they need to win four in a row, I'm like, they may get close. I don't know if they're going to win four in a row.
And it's not just four in a row against a bunch of jabronis.
Oh,
it's
no.
It's four in a row against the best teams in the country.
Absolutely.
The teams that qualify for the Women's College World Series. It started on Friday night, Texas putting up a 4-0 shutout win over Mississippi State. Then you had the miracle late-game heroics from Katie Stewart in that victory over Nebraska on Sunday. And then even that, Texas went into yesterday needing to beat Tennessee twice before Tennessee beat Texas once.
Yes.
And the Longhorns found a way to do just that. 5-2 the final in game one, a 4-0 shutout, a two-hit shutout pitched by Teagan Kavan in game two. And for the third consecutive year and the fourth time in the last five, the Longhorn softball team is playing in the championship series.
I mean, it's just incredible, this group. I mean, over the last, you know, since Mike White got here, he's been just doing some fabulous things in his team. They just don't know the word lose. They'll lose a game, but they don't know about losing series. Once they start getting to the regionals and starting to get that feel where they can be in the national championship hunt, there are others. There's been some great teams that were really hitting their stride right now that have gone home.
Yeah.
And men's and women's baseball. And this team seems to find a way through a loss and knowing that they can't afford to lose another game, find ways to win.
Never doubt the heart of a champion. This group is incredibly tough. They're incredibly resilient. And how about, you know, we talked about the four straight elimination game victories in Oklahoma City. Remember, they've had six elimination games so far in this tournament,
right,
and they've won all of them. They dropped game one to Arizona State in the Supers and were on very thin ice in game two. They almost got swept at home by Arizona State before even getting to the World Series. They find a way to win. Vic Hunter hits that huge pinch hit home run to force the game three. Texas wins that one, and then four straight. So it's six consecutive elimination game victories for Texas. Their backs have been against the wall for a long time, and yet they keep finding ways to get it done. They took the long road, right? There's an easy path. Last year, Texas took the easy path to get to the finals. This year, they took the long and winding and difficult path, but here they are once again. And you mentioned how good of a job Mike White has done. This is his fourth trip to Oklahoma City since taking the job at Texas 8 years ago. In all four of those years, he's gotten to the championship series.
How about that?
So it's a big deal to just get there, right? That's a tremendous accomplishment in itself. But to make it to the final two every time you get there, that is some next-level stuff.
Boy, and they're getting some next-level pitching, too. But not only keeping him – come on. I mean, everybody's pitching well. Everybody that hits the circle has pitched well enough to keep them in it. They're not giving up six, seven runs. This is the time of year where these four or five, you know, four or five run games, you're in it. This team is in it. I mean, all the way to the very end, whether it's two outs in the ninth or whatever they have to do, somebody big comes up and it hits a big time home run for them. They've been fantastic to watch.
They have been. And shout out to Citlali Gutierrez, who got the start for Texas in game one yesterday.
Right.
6 2/3 innings, gave up just two runs, one of them earned. Teagan Kavan had to come in to get that last out in that bases loaded situation. But despite four errors by Texas in that first game against
the
Lady Vols.
And they've been playing great defense.
Yeah, we were talking about it yesterday. Yeah. They had been, and then they just kind of were kicking the ball around a little bit. But despite that, Gutierrez, her best start of the year, maybe her best start in the last 2 years.
I think so.
Texas doesn't get to that game two where Teagan Kavan pitched that masterpiece without Gutierrez. She's one of the heroes. You know, Reese Atwood, who's a top five player.
And she's struggled. She's been struggling.
Yeah, top five player in Texas softball history, right? Leads the Longhorns in home runs and RBIs all time. She hit her first home run in Oklahoma City yesterday. She had been struggling a little bit. She had a homer in the first game. She had an RBI double in the second game. Katie Stewart hit two more home runs yesterday. She's got 30 now, only the second player in SEC history to hit 30 home runs in a single season. So, look, it takes a village to do what Texas softball is doing, Everybody stepped up when they needed to, and here they are, two wins away from going back to back.
You know what? And I don't think they've really peaked out, because good softball hasn't hit her stride yet. You know, she's been okay.
Leanne good.
But she is, I think she's such a special player. And I think when she's going, they really, really get going.
Yeah.
That means everybody's going well. And she's doing okay. You know, she's feeling okay and stuff, but she's not hitting the way I think she could. Because if that bat gets going with her, look out.
Yeah. This is a talented team. And it's the first time in history that we have a rematch of the championship series. It'll be Texas and Texas Tech. The Red Raiders did what the Longhorns did. Now, Tech didn't lose its first game, so they haven't had as many elimination games. But they also needed to win two before Yes. their opponent won one. And Texas Tech had a crazy walk-off in the first game against Alabama. Then Nigerie Kennedy, who Texas fans remember very well from last year, she pitches a shutout in game two. And what do you know? All of the Sark and Joey McGuire back and forth over the last week and change. It's Texas and Texas Tech settling on the diamonds.
You know, I truly was rooting for Alabama. I didn't want Tech to win. I didn't want to see them again.
You don't want to beat them again?
But now we don't have a choice. Let's just go ahead and beat them, because they're going to want to talk a little bit.
I'm sure they're already saying, like, y'all can't avoid this one, Texas.
Yeah.
You can't schedule Texas State instead of us now.
Yeah. Until you win this deal, I don't think you should talk. You know, they came in with a lot of talk last year and ended up getting beat. So I would wait till after this series is over. If you get a national championship, that's fine. Now you can talk it, because you've got one. Texas has one. So then you can talk a little bit. But to do all this preliminary yapping, the coach has talked about, isn't it fun to have this kind of banter going on before? I don't know, coach. You need to win first.
I hope he doesn't win. He doesn't need to win anything.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't need to win. No.
Our coach needs to win. Mike White needs to win another
Absolutely.
One.
Absolutely.
Their guy doesn't need to win anything.
But the talk before, I mean, it's just it's college sports. If you want to talk, go ahead. You got to win. You got to play the game.
You got to play the games. Game one tomorrow. It's not an elimination game for Texas. This is a best of three series. Game one tomorrow night.
Sure don't want them to have to win two in a row after that, though. Let's get a first game. Let's get the first game and get that victory immediately.
That would be nice. Yeah, last year Texas did win that first game.
Right.
They dropped the second game. They needed that winner-take-all third game, and they got it done in blowout fashion over Texas Tech. So we'll see what this week holds. Game one Wednesday, game two Thursday. If we need a game three, it'll be Friday. So we'll know by the weekend who the national champs are in college softball. Have the Longhorns gone back-to-back, or has Texas Tech gotten some revenge from what happened in 2025?
Boy, it seems like a lot of games being played in a row. Bang, bang, bang. I mean,
yeah. Thankfully, they get a day off.
Yes.
Right? I think both teams really need it, and both aces really need it. I mean, Tegan Kavan, can you say about her?
Kennedy, they're going to pitch her until her arm falls off, too. Both of these girls are going to come in here with their arms just hanging down, because they're both going to get a lot of action.
That's what got Kennedy in that Game 3 last
year.
And Tegan Kavan was able to out-duel her. She was named Most Outstanding Player a year ago, and I mean, she was outstanding yesterday. How about five shutouts for Tegan Kavan in the Women's College World
it's
Series.
Amazing.
Breaking Kat Osterman's record. Anytime you break a record set by the GOAT, it's a big deal. Anytime you're in the conversation with a record that she has, that's impressive enough. But to do something that even she couldn't do to her during her incredibly illustrious Longhorns career, that is a big freaking deal. You know, Tegan Kavan did not pitch very well against Tennessee in that first game in OKC. And she bounces back again, gets out of that seventh inning jam in the first one yesterday, and then a two-hitter, no walks.
And she has at least another year here, correct?
She's got one more year. She's only a junior right now. Here is Tegan Kavan post-game yesterday talking about responding to her not-so-great, not-usual performance against Tennessee in the opener last Thursday.
I think I knew that they didn't get my best game for me, and so I was going to try my best to give them a better one today, and I think it worked out so well with Sitlali. We're not in that game if she doesn't give the game that she gave for us, and so I think we complimented each other really well, and so credit to her for letting us get to that game too, and then I was going to have her back just like she's had my back all season.
Yeah, she was they did not get her best. She's right about that.
Yep.
But boy, they got her best yesterday. My goodness.
Yeah, and that moment, too, where she came in out of the bullpen, bases loaded, Texas up by three. So the go-ahead runs at the plate. And the girl who came up to bat was the same girl, Elsa Morrison, who hit the home run off of Kavan last week.
Yes.
And it's like Mike White goes to the pen to bring Kavan in, and I'm thinking, uh-oh, because you know that batter's got some confidence yes. in this matchup. And it's like, is this going to happen again? Is Texas about to drop a heartbreaker? They've done all this work. They've played so well. And all of a sudden, they're about to give it up. Tegan Gavon strikeout. No questions asked. And then 45 minutes later, she goes back out there and delivers a gem. She is so freaking good. And regardless of sport, Buck, like the legends of the game, college, pro, even high school, right. they elevate with their backs against the wall. When they absolutely need their best performance, that's when they deliver. It's like Tiger Sunday at the Masters, right? Like the greats of the game, when they absolutely need to play at their best, they do that, and that is what Tegan Gavon has done 2 years in a row for Texas.
Yeah, she's been absolutely fantastic. It really is fun to watch her. And that rise ball of hers, that's fun to watch too. I don't think I can get a stick on that. No, I can't hit that. No. By the way, I don't want to get hit by that ball. I saw a couple of girls get hit, you know, in the side of the leg on the elbow. I'm glad. I know why they had that elbow pad on that shield there.
For sure.
You know what that would do to my little bones?
Break. Yeah.
Man.
You would hit the deck and you would still be on the deck.
And stand there just that's too much.
Everybody would have left the stadium by the time you got up off the ground.
Or is that that pitching circle is close.
Yeah.
To that batter's box. Man.
It's close. All right. So that's where you draw the line, because you've gone on the record and said in a men's SEC basketball game, you think you get two rebounds.
I get two.
And you're saying you will not even contact against one of these players in college softball.
No, because I'm big. Thing starts spinning, I'm bailing.
Oh, you're not even taking any.
I'm taking a hack. 1 foot's out of the batter's box, though. Left foot is out of the box. I'm not staying. I'm not hanging in there.
One of those half swings.
Oh, dude, that thing looks like a medicine ball coming up there at 7 miles an hour.
Yeah, it is fast. And boy, Tennessee's pitcher Carlin Pickens, I mean, she's got some gas to her game.
Well, I'll tell you who's got some gas is the young lady that pitched the first game for Texas Tech, a little lefty that brings it.
Yeah.
Wow, can she fling it now?
I don't know how often we'll see her.
I think we'll see her once at least.
Maybe we will.
Yeah. I wonder, do you see her in the starting? No.
I think the only reason she did and the only reason Gutierrez started for Texas was because it was two games back-to-back.
Yes.
Right, so all of these finals games are on separate days. It's one on Wednesday, one on Thursday, and again, one potentially on Friday. So you don't need to go back-to-back like that.
And they don't need to let you go a long time either. No. I know, even though you may be up by, you know, two or three runs, you may have pitchers coming into the game to rest that same pitcher. They may not let them go to distance.
They may not.
You know,
here's Mike White after the wins against Tennessee, giving some love to the Lady Vols, but also talking about his team finding a way to get it done once again.
Congratulations to Tennessee on their season. Obviously, Callum Pickens, Majeko, and Nua. Incredible pitching staff. Their numbers were amazing. We knew we'd have a tough job ahead of us, but our offense showed up today. And that's what won us the games, along with the pitching of Salali Gutierrez and Tegan Gavon. Our defense was a little shaky at times. We bent, but we didn't break. And, that kept us in the game. Obviously, we made some great plays as well. And that's what you got to do. You got to balance it out. We were able to reset, readjust, and able to take out these two games against the top opponent. And we're looking forward to going on to the championship to against whoever it may be.
You know, that's not like them defensively, what we saw. That was really different. You and I had talked about that just yesterday. What we saw from them defensively, that's not how they play. So they survived.
They survived. Survive in advance. That is the name of the game. And we said it. There's only been four teams in the history of the Women's College World Series that dates all the way back to 1969 that have lost their first game and gone on to win the national championship.
Right.
Now, job's not finished, but the hard part for Texas is kind of in the rear view. Not to take a shot at Texas Tech. That's a very good team. This is not going to be an easy series. But winning four straight elimination games against three really, really good teams, that's the tougher part on paper. So the fact that Texas is here, they've given themselves a chance. They're two wins away from winning another national championship. But they're trying to do something that's only been done four times in nearly 60 years of this tremendous event that has gone on. And
BK, and there were teams, like I said, who were coming in on a roll. Tennessee was on a roll.
Yep.
Mississippi State was on a roll at the time. Alabama's been on a pretty good roll most of the season. So there's some teams that are going home that didn't get a chance, won't get a chance to play in the championship game, but we're starting to play their best baseball right now. And now I'm thinking, as I look, I'm trying to figure out, is Texas playing their best? Now, they're pitching pretty well, but are they playing their best all around? I don't know if they are yet. Maybe this is where it starts.
Maybe. I mean, Katie Stewart's at her best right now.
Oh, she's every time she comes up to bat, every time I see Hunter come up, I'm thinking, here goes, even if they're pinch hitting her, just not even when they need a home run to win. When she comes up to bat, I think home run every time.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Katie Stewart's incredible. You know, she took that ball off her face towards the end of game two. Had to leave, was bleeding a little bit. Hopefully she's okay and ready to roll tomorrow. Seems like everything is fine. She was smiling and laughing a little bit on the field. But with her in the batter's box and with Tegan Kavan, I mean, that's how it works with college softball. If you have a pitcher who's dominating, you can beat anybody in the country. And I would not bet against Tegan Kavan this time of the year. So as long as she's at the top of her game the way she was yesterday, the Longhorns have a very good chance. And kind of, I guess my last thought on this for now, in between the two games, there was like a 30 to 45 minute break.
Time for a little slice of pizza?
Well, the ESPN telecast, like they stuck with coverage. They just had their studio show talking about game one and then previewing game two. They cut to the Longhorns dugout, and the girls are line dancing. They're smiling. They're cracking jokes. They're doing dance routines. They looked so cool, calm, and collected, despite the fact that they just won a crazy game, and they were about to play another crazy elimination game. They were having the time of their lives. They looked so relaxed in a moment that I'm like,
kind of been there.
I'm sitting on the couch like biting my nails, stressed here. I'm not even in the game, and they're like, nah, we're good. We know what we're about to do.
Yeah, a team that's been there.
Yeah.
Even though they have to win another one, they've kind of been in that. They don't get themselves all stressed out. They just get ready to go play another game.
It's crazy.
Boy, that sure didn't take. That was somebody said, "Oh, they're going to get a half hour." I'm like, "A half hour? That's it? They're not going to get a full hour to play?" No.
That was it.
Man.
Yeah, part of me was like, "Okay, should they play the Tech Alabama first game first so it'd give these girls a couple of hours?" That's not the way it works.
No, it's not the way it works.
And Texas kept their momentum going.
Speaking of warm, it was, you know, the temperature was like 100 degrees. I mean, it was pretty nasty. And I told you before, I said to you, I said, "Oh, it is June now in this part of the country here, Oklahoma. It's hot. It's supposed to be hot now."
I feel like it's June in every part of the country.
No.
Make sure we got that on the record.
Man.
But you're right. It's getting toasty, and it will be toasty. Thankfully, night games for the championship series, which will help a little bit. But, yeah, it is warm in Oklahoma City. So congrats to Texas. Two wins away from going back-to-back. Never doubt the Texas fight. The Longhorns have shown that in droves over the last few
games. Absolutely.
All right, we will shift gears in a moment, get to some NFL. I mean, my goodness, two crazy trades in the National Football League. The balance of power has shifted. We will talk about that in a moment. But before we do, how about, Buck, our first round of sponsor shout-outs?
Folks, if you're seeking specialized patient-focused orthopedic care, contact our friends and the experts at Texas Orthopedics. Their physicians offer comprehensive surgical and, check this out, non-surgical orthopedic care for children and adults, rehab, spinal care, sports medicine, joint replacement, and more. Dr. Danny, Dr. Chris Stockton are dedicated orthopedic surgeons there, and their goal is to get you right back into good health and the great quality of life that you deserve. Texas Orthopedics is the largest independent orthopedic practice in Central Texas. For more information, go to txortho.com.
Yes, indeed. Love Dr. Danny and his great team at Texas Orthopedics. Also love our guy Mike McCall and his great team at McCall Custom Homes. They are custom home builders and renovators here in Central Texas. It's a father-son team with more than four decades of experience, and all of that experience has been right here in Central Texas. So they know what it takes to turn an Austin area home into something truly, truly special. You want to build from the ground up? They've got you. You want to remodel a kitchen, renovate a bathroom, add some new life to your outdoor space, something to make your current home just be a more enjoyable place to live for you and your family? McCall Custom Homes, ATX.com. That is their website. They're offering free estimates to listeners of this show. You can reach out to our guy, Mike McCall, directly, 512-633-9580. Great dude, big Longhorn fan, big time listener of the show. He will take care of you. It's McCall Custom Homes. We build value into your home.
And of course, our friends over at Sue Patrick, tons of Texas themed item gifts, books, cards, getting ready for my anniversary. Picked up an anniversary card there yesterday. Saw Jay and the gang.
There you go.
And they got a wide variety of men's and women's clothing, all kinds of hats. Got a hat yesterday. Jay showed me all the brand new polos that they have. Father's Day just around the corner. He said, "Nobody cares about Dad." Yes, they do. They care about Dad, Jay. They'll be over there. There's some great polos over there for summertime. And you and I will be seeing some new Longhorn gear. You've got one of his shirts on right there.
Yeah, man.
They've got another style over there, BK, that's absolutely magnificent. They've got the quarter what is that, the quarter pull-up right there with long, kind of long sleeves?
Quarter zip?
Quarter zip. They got a quarter zip over there right now.
I love the quarter zips.
Yes, and all sizes, even triple, for those that may need a triple X, which I do not need. I'm just a medium, everybody. But they got everything. 5222 Bernard Road, free curbside pickup, of course, $59 or more in online orders. It is absolutely fantastic over at Sue Patrick. 50 years they've been serving Central Texas. Go to SuePatrick.com for more information, folks.
You know, our friend Jay at Sue Patrick and I have something in common. We both love Altstadt beer.
Yes, you do.
And Jay's downed a couple of Altstadts in his time.
Yes, and Jay looks svelte right
svelte.
Now. Svelte? Yes, he looks svelte right now.
What does that mean? Like made of felt?
He's in good shape.
Oh.
He's not. When I say the word triple X, that's not directed at Jay. He's not a triple X.
I don't think I've ever heard that word before. Svelte? Svelte.
Yeah, he's a svelte looking man right now.
Are you combining two words? Did you make that up on
the spot?
I think
there's such a word as svelte.
Like S-V-E-L-T? Yeah. Svelte?
Yes, that means you're in good shape.
Okay.
You look good. You know, he's been on that bike. Now, he's not doing Matt King like 2,000 mile riding, but he's going, you know, 15, 20 minutes on that bike.
That's more than I'm going.
Yes.
I can tell you that. Well, shout out to Altstadt Beer. Hey, the Altstadt Brewery svelte.
Yes.
They were named Brewery of the Year in the state of Texas back in February. So that's a good sign. That means
absolutely.
They're in good shape. And they're putting out award-winning beers all across the great state of Texas. The lager is my personal favorite. That's the Blue Label, classic German-style lager, super easy to drink. No additives, no preservatives, no unnecessary filler ingredients. And that's the case with any of the Altstadt beers. They've got the Kolsch, they've got the Light, they've got the Hefeweizen, they've got the Pilsner. Seriously, something for every beer drinker out there. Check out the Peach Radler, too. Perfect for these red-hot summer days here in the 512. Altstadtbeer.com for more information. And go get you a six-pack or a pint wherever you get your beer.
And once again, we're out at Lake Cliff golf course, and this is a wonderful place. And you know, I've been playing golf for quite a while now. You know, I never got to play as a kid. You know, my old man wouldn't let me. He let me shag balls, but he never let me play with his friends and stuff. I played maybe three rounds of golf with my old man before. He just was like, I don't know. Maybe they were playing for back at that time too much money, and he wanted to be disturbed. But he would give me a shag bag. And I'd go out, you know, 60, 70 yards, and I had my baseball glove. I mean, that's where I learned how to play baseball, catching golf balls.
Really?
In North Carolina, yeah, with a shag bag.
How about that?
But, you know, I would suggest, and I bet you would too, for those that have not taken a lesson, BK, and really think, because I'm one of those self, you know, bad grip golfers. I got my own grip and everything else. Yeah, would you suggest coming out to a place like this and really learning the game?
Yeah.
I mean, those guys, they're that good, aren't they?
That's one of the biggest regrets of my life is not getting into golf before I did, right? And I'm still in my early 30s. I still have plenty of time, hopefully, to get to play. But it's like, man, I wish I went and took lessons somewhere earlier. And, yeah, this place has you covered. The Academy of Golf Dynamics, top 25 instruction school in the country. They're constantly on that list, and we're lucky enough to have them right here in Central Texas. So go see those dudes. If you're a first-time player, there's 60 or 70-year-old guys out there working on their game right now. They've got schools and events happening all the time. Yeah, go off that game a little bit.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
I'll tell you, golf's a lot more fun when you're half decent. And I'm only half decent at this point. I used to be zero decent, and it's a lot more fun being able to
shots. We all have even guys that have been playing a while still have certain fears of, you know, like getting the ball up in the air over bunkers onto the greens, things like that. Dude, I used to take a putter coming out of if it didn't have a lip, I would putt through the sand traps. I mean, it took me a long time to get that fear out of me, but you know, and I've taken one lesson before and that felt good.
Yeah.
And then from that point on, I knew everything. You know what I'm saying?
It took.
Never took a putting lesson. Never had to need that. There was no need for that.
I might need a putting lesson from you then, because that's the one lesson I haven't taken, and that's might as well just bring out a hockey stick like Happy Gilmore and take my chance.
Come on, Happy.
Goodness gracious. All right. Well, let's dive into the NFL. I wasn't expecting yesterday to be the craziest day of the NFL offseason, but sure enough, it was. We'll start with the biggest move that was made, and there's a couple of headlines to dive into, but I think the biggest one, the Los Angeles Rams have acquired two-time NFL Defensive Player of the Year, Myles Garrett.
One of the most dominating players to ever play defense in the NFL. with still a lot of time to go with him.
I'm telling you, he's only 29 years old.
Man.
And he's coming off a year in which he set the NFL single season sack record with 23. He is a stud, still in the prime of his career. And finally, for him, he gets out of Cleveland and he goes to a team where he actually has a chance to win.
Yeah, now with all the talk about, you know, during the early spring that he wanted out, and then he truly did not want out. It's not about the wins and losses with him. This had to be talked about. This didn't just come up, you know, a week ago. This has been in the works, hadn't it?
I don't know. I mean, there were some rumors out there, but teams had apparently been inquiring about whether or not Myles Garrett was available, and the Browns had been telling everybody no. And according to reports that came out yesterday after the trade was agreed to,
he didn't want out, did he?
Well, the Browns even told the Rams no a couple of times. Huh. I guess the Rams just came with a better offer, and eventually it got to the point where Cleveland's like, all right, we'd be silly not to trade. We were wasting this guy. We might as well build for the future, get some more draft capital,
right,
get a little bit younger on our roster. But, yeah, I mean, Myles Garrett did not request a trade. Remember, there was a moment a year or two ago.
Right, where he wanted out, right?
Where he released a statement saying, yeah, I've loved it here, but unfortunately it's just not going to work out. And then the Browns are like, well, here's a new contract. We'll pay you $40-plus million a year. And he's like, I love it here.
It's a great place.
It's my favorite place in the world. I never want to leave. I'm going to bring a Super Bowl to the Cleveland. He was saying all of that stuff. He just wanted to get paid. He got paid. There was no trade request out here. There was no, hey, I'm going to hold y'all hostage. I'm not going to play for you. You better trade me or else.
Yeah, I mean, some of these things that, I mean, yesterday, of course, you know, with A.J. Brown, we knew eventually on June 1st that it was, I think everybody knew that was going to happen.
Yeah.
It was going to happen with somebody. You know, New England was in the lead for it, so it just happened to happen with the New England Patriots. We kind of knew that was coming. But this one was just a total out of nowhere because, as you said, it sounded like he was very happy with what was going on in Cleveland. So that was such a surprise. And I don't know who got the best of that deal. I'm still going to say the Rams got the best of that deal because, as of right now, I think the Rams are going to the Super Bowl.
Well, the Rams are the heavy favorites to win the Super Bowl. They were the favorites on some sports books before the trade went down. Now I'm seeing somewhere they are plus 600. The teams that are tied for second with Super Bowl odds, Seattle, Buffalo, and Baltimore, they're plus 1,100. So it's not even close. Like, the Rams are heavy favorites to win it all next season.
Yeah, and we're talking about a team that really was pretty good defensively anyway.
Yeah. I mean they made it to the NFC Championship last year.
Yeah.
Like, it was a great team that was a couple of plays away from getting to the Super Bowl.
You're right. There's a lot of teams that you say, well, one player is not going to make a difference. But on a team like this, this one player is going to make a difference.
Oh, yeah. And the F them picks Rams are back. By the way, the Super Bowl is in L.A. again. The last time the Super Bowl was at SoFi, the Rams won it. So they are going all in on trying to win one on their home field
once again. Care about them picks.
No. The Rams have only made two of their first-round picks since 2016. Jared Goff and Jared Verse.
Mm-hmm.
And they eventually traded both of them. Jared Verse was a part of this trade, and I guess here's the full compensation package going back to Cleveland. Jared Verse is a really good player.
Yes, he is.
Two-time Pro Bowler, one of the best young pass rushers in the NFL. So that's a nice building
block. Great motor. He's got a great motor.
Absolutely. They also, they being Cleveland, they get a first-round pick next year, a second-rounder in 2028, and a third in 2029. So three pretty premium draft picks, one in each of the next three drafts, plus a very talented young player who's already proven himself in this league. I think it's a great trade for the Browns. I think it's a great trade for both teams, right? The Rams going for it. They should be going for it. You've got Matthew Stafford at the back end of his career. Why not go all in while you have an MVP caliber quarterback in a swan song era?
Yeah, the Cleveland Browns are now in the Arch Manning pick. They're in there now. Now they've got draft capital along with the first round pick. They've got a lot of different ways to get to Arch Manning now.
Okay, all right. Just
I know.
Tell
I'm
us
sorry.
You hate Arch.
Why
do you hate Arch?
I'm not,
why are you
I'm not
to
hating on
him to Cleveland.
I'm just saying that they weren't in it. They were going to find a way to get one of their young quarterbacks. Somebody was in eventually going to play quarterback. But when you get that pick that they have now and the draft capital, you know that group is going to go and try to screw up somebody's career.
You know we're working with the flagship university of the Texas Longhorns, and they're listening right now. They don't want you to be mean to them. You're being mean to the starting quarterback of the Texas football team here.
if I were talking about the Cleveland Browns, I would be mean to a lot of people that thought they were going to be quarterbacking in the NFL. That's not an NFL team. That is a...
Hey, they've got Shedeur Sanders. That guy was a Pro Bowler last year, man.
That's true. Let's not forget that. He was
show some respect.
Well, I wish that were the case, but you know they'll find a way to want to be in this thing now for that pick. That's just so scary. It's scary. It's a horrible feeling.
Yeah. Well, the Browns might not need to tank to be one of the worst teams in the NFL. No. You would have said this before the trade.
For sure.
But as good as Jared Verse
is. But the picks that they have to go along with it now.
Yeah. Well, now, you know, they're going to have their own first next year, which is probably going to be in the top five. I mean, it could be number one to where they don't need to trade up. But now they do have that second first round pick, that extra ammunition to move up a couple of spots.
And what else do they have? The second, third, and fourth?
Well, those are all in future drafts.
Man.
So they've got an extra second in 2028, and they've got an extra third in 2029. Obviously, they could trade those picks in 2027 if they wanted to help themselves move up a little bit. But, the Browns, they've been acquiring picks. You know, with the team that's well-run, with a team that you had any faith in, it's a strategy that makes sense. You just feel like the Browns are still going to find a way to screw it up. But, again, it knows for them to keep Myles Garrett.
No.
They were just, we all know how great of a player is, a future first ballot Hall of Famer.
Absolutely.
One of the most disruptive defensive players ever. And he's an Aggie. It takes a lot for me to praise an Aggie like that. But
he's a hard dude not to praise when he was on that football field.
But like they weren't winning anything with him. They weren't sniffing the playoffs, let alone a Super Bowl. You can't win without a quarterback in this league. Having Myles Garrett, it's like having a Lamborghini and you live in a trailer park. Like, it's just a bad use of your funds, a bad use of your resources. And credit to the Browns for making a good move and getting a very good return out of this thing.
Yeah, I mean, it feels the same way for Watt at Pittsburgh. You're just wasting. Why are you continuing to waste a guy's career? No, so you're going to have a winning season and that's it?
Oh, with Aaron Rodgers?
No, with Watt.
Oh, with T.J. Watt.
With T.J. Watt, it feels like you're just wasting and wasting and wasting the best years of this guy just so you can have, we got a winning season again.
Right.
Okay, who cares?
Well, Steelers are at least making the playoffs. I mean, I agree what they're doing is dumb with their quarterbacks and how they've handled that in recent years, but at least T.J. Watt's playing in some meaningful games in his life. Myles Garrett has not played in anything. It's not his fault. He's done everything he could do, but again, without a quarterback in this sport, you've got no chance.
You're absolutely right.
So, yeah, we will see. But the Rams, man, I mean, I already like their chances to win the NFC, and they are heavy, heavy favorites to win Super Bowl 61. What a great pickup.
They definitely now give Seattle a run for their money, for sure.
Well, the NFC West, I mean, already the best division of football because you got the Niners out there too. Arizona still stinks, even with Jeremiah Love. But, I mean, the Rams and Seahawks were the two best teams in the NFC last year. San Francisco's always in the mix. All three of them made the postseason, and you just added the best defensive player in the sport to that already incredibly talented roster that's got, you know, Stafford and Nacua and Adams, of course. Jordan
and we're talking about a team that it wasn't that long ago that not only in a Super Bowl, but they won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You know, like for you, I mean, it's like the Rangers, you know, you can live off of this for another 20 years. For them, they're right back at it again.
Well, the Rangers are taking that seriously. You know, when I said, like, yeah, the Rangers, they just win one World Series. They can be bad for the next 10 years.
They're taking it for sure, huh?
They are really trying to be bad for the next 10 years.
Oh, my goodness.
It appears. Yeah, the Rams are, they're not about that life.
They don't care about the draft pick, huh?
No, don't forget they got Trent McDuffie earlier this offseason, too. Our guy Jake brings that up. Like, they added an all-pro corner, one of the best at that position.
Right.
And they added the best pass rusher in the sport. They are not playing around at all.
No.
So, yeah, great pickup for them. Blockbuster trade in the National Football League. And break up the L.A. Rams, man. If they stay healthy, they are going to be tough to beat. So that was one trade.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned in passing the other big trade that happened in the NFL. And this one, not much of a secret, right? We've kind of known for a while that the Patriots and Eagles have been negotiating terms of an A.J. Brown trade. The reason it happened yesterday, there was some sort of kicker in A.J. Brown's contract that made him a lot easier and cheaper to trade on June 1st. Otherwise, this deal would have gotten done months
Absolutely.
Ago. Patriots have been interested. They need a number one wide receiver after letting Diggs go. The Eagles were tired of the charade and the circus and all of the back and forth that A.J. Brown had been giving them. So the two sides finally agreed to a deal yesterday. New England gets A.J. Brown. Philadelphia gets a first-round pick in 2028, so not next year's draft, but 2 years from now, and they also get a fifth-round pick in the coming, if you will. I know we're still like 11 months away, but the 2027 NFL draft. So your thoughts on that trade?
Yeah, I think it's great for New England, and I think it's great for Philadelphia. There's just too much static there. You know, who gets along with who? Is it the offensive coordinator? Is it the quarterback? Is it A.J. Brown himself? There was just too much. It's just like he had to go. You know, and they of course they drafted another wide receiver anyway, and they were getting ready to get to the point where now they got too many really guys that could be number one, you know, number ones on their team. So I think it's a good move for Philadelphia. I think down the road they're going to like this. And as much as people don't like the quarterback in Philadelphia, that guy is a Super Bowl champion. That guy has won a Super Bowl. So
yeah,
you know,
Super Bowl MVP too.
Yeah, I mean, it's you don't need that access stuff. And I think people had a lot of respect for A.J. Brown. It's just that he was too much for himself. You know what I'm saying? I don't think he could help himself, BK. I think he's one of those guys that just, you know, when you're in a room and you want to see who's going to stay the quietest, the one guy has to speak up and it's the wrong guy who's talking. It's like, just give us 5 more minutes. Don't say a word. But that person has to say something. It'll be the dumbest thing and you'll go, you know, if he just would have shut up for another 5 minutes, somebody else would have spoke first. He's the guy in the room that has to open up his mouth.
Well, remember 2 years ago during the Eagles' run to the Super Bowl, you had A.J. Brown reading a book on the sideline during a game.
Yeah, I mean, that's
like, you don't need to be that much of a me guy.
No, that's way too quirky. You can say he's quirky, but that's just weird.
Yeah, that is.
There's enough weirdness goes on. You got so many guys on the team that are really different kind of guys. You don't need that. They didn't need him, and he's good now. He's a really good player.
He's a really good player. He's still in his 20s. He'll turn 29 later this month.
How long will it take for the New England Patriots to part way? Remember, they still got a coach who's trying to bang everything in sight. So they're used to putting up. They're used to having some kind of drama there.
Yeah,
murderers on their team.
Murderers,
I mean,
deflate gate, spy gate. I mean, there's always some sort of scandal.
They deal with so much. They deal with the greatest player ever to play the quarterback position on their. They know how to deal with drama. That's a drama place, and they do a good job of dealing with the drama. Can they handle this guy's drama?
Yeah, it seemed like they were past the drama, right? It seemed like the culture was in a really good spot with Mike Vrabel. Obviously, the Pats made it to the Super Bowl this year, just the second year of the Vrabel-Drake May era.
Right.
Felt like the arrow was pointing up, and I still think they're going to be very good. I don't think the Vrabel-Russini stuff is going to totally derail that train.
And these two guys seem to be used to each other. They seem to like each other.
Yeah, but it'll be interesting to see how A.J. Brown and Mike Vrabel have history. Remember, they were both in Tennessee together.
Correct.
So they know each other. Vrabel knows what he's getting.
You know, that's right. He knows what to expect.
Pissed when the Titans traded A.J. Brown to the Eagles in the first place. That was a horrible move for Tennessee and a great move for Philadelphia. But those guys know each other. I think it'll help that Mike Vrabel knows what he's getting. I think it'll help that A.J. Brown knows what to expect from a Mike Vrabel
team. And if he doesn't affect the young quarterback, it's fine.
Yeah. And look, they needed a number one wide receiver. And I think it's a really good move for Philadelphia. Let me just go ahead and say that right now. Like,
yes,
they traded a first and a third to get him from Tennessee. A.J. Brown was there for 4 seasons. They went to 2 Super Bowls. They won one. And now they get a first and a fifth.
And I trust in their general manager in Philadelphia, too.
Howie Roseman's one of the best in the game.
Yeah, I trust that he understands how important this move is for what they want to do, too, in Philadelphia. Because I think he has a lot of faith in the quarterback there. He's got a lot of faith in Jalen Hurts. He's taken him to a Super Bowl. He's been there twice. He understands with that guy that he knows where the problem is. And it wasn't with the quarterback, I don't believe.
Well, the quarterback.
I don't believe it's with the quarterback.
You're higher on Jalen Hurts than I am. He's a product of a system that definitely helps him out. Look, you can't be a bum and win a Super Bowl.
Right.
I'm not saying he's a bum. I don't think he's all that great. And I think Eagles fans are going to be frustrated with him once again. But look, for A.J. Brown, the Eagles got 4 amazing years out of him.
Yes, they did.
3-time second team All-Pro in Philly. And even this past year when he was this massive distraction and everyone said he stunk and, oh, we got to get rid of this dude, 78 catches, 1,000 yards, 7 touchdowns.
Right.
And a bit of a down year for him. So good move by the Eagles. Again, they almost get an identical return after 4 great years with him. And then for the Patriots, this is something they needed to bolster their roster. So I think this is a good deal for both sides. You just feel for Diana Russini because she was not able to report the trade. You know, she's known about this for months.
Yeah, she's been keeping at least one thing under wraps without anybody finding out.
You don't think they were wrapping up? And again, it could be Mike Vrabel's kid.
That's
the
right.
Kid
we don't
is
know
named
that
after him.
We're not done with that story yet. You know, that story's to be continued.
It's kind of gone by the wayside for now, but we might get some more details.
Yes.
At some point. And Diana Russini is still without job.
I'll just say this: eventually, her husband's going to squeal.
What can he squeal that hasn't already been squealed?
I was going to say, he knows something. But then again, he knows nothing. He hasn't known anything.
Sure seems that he was kind of left in the dark about all this.
Yes, he was.
I'm sure he's checking her phone saying, hey, what other coaches were you texting?
My goodness.
How did you get that story? How did you get that story here, Diana?
So
that trade finally happens. A.J. Brown officially a New England Patriot. The Philadelphia Eagles getting a nice return there. A couple of other NFL headlines from yesterday. Again, so much going on in the National Football League, just kind of randomly on a Monday. The New York Giants have signed Odell Beckham Jr. He's back where he started his career. I did not realize he was still in the league. I will be perfectly honest with you, Buck. He has played in 9 games in the last 2 years. All 9 of those were in 2024. Last year, he was suspended 6 games for failing a PED test, and then he was a free agent, and nobody signed him after his suspension. So the Giants now bring him back. I don't know what to expect from him. Maybe it's just to sell a few more jerseys, but your thoughts on OBJ back to NYG?
I don't know what that guy can add to a group that needs that. You know, they're still trying to get neighbors to be their number one and get him on the field and healthy. This doesn't help them health-wise, having this old dude come in here who's going to run 4.6 for you, make a couple catches, end up with 22 catches for the season. That just doesn't. It doesn't sound like a winner. I mean, I don't know what they paid for him. I would think just about anything over, you know, $2 million is way too much for a guy like that this part of his career.
Whatever the minimum is, I feel like that's what OBJ should probably be making. And, yeah, I don't know. I mean, the Giants, they've got Malik Nabers, as you mentioned. They spent a third-round pick on Malachi Fields, the wide receiver out of Notre Dame this year. They've got Calvin Austin. I mean, they've got a couple of other receivers on their team. So,
yeah, I mean, are they getting a player coach? Are they feeling like, hey, we really need you to help out these young guys?
How old do you think Odell Beckham Jr. is?
Oh, 36?
33. So, age-wise, maybe he's got another year or two. But, again, he's barely played the last couple of years.
I know, he's been banged up. He's never been.
And he's been taking PED. Like, he knows he's lost a step. He's been cheating to try to get back in the league.
Come on there, Swersby.
Yeah, yeah, different kind of cheating right there. But there's OBJ. And then how about the other New York team? The jokes write themselves for the New York Jets, don't they?
Yes, it does.
So, Russell Wilson, that Russell Wilson, was recently offered a 1-year contract by the New York Jets to be Geno Smith's backup, right? I don't think he was going to be the starter.
No.
But Geno Smith is not very good.
Well, he would have been the starter at some point during the year.
Right. At some point, you would think Russell Wilson was going to get the play. It's like, all right, man, when you're towards the end of your career, if you get an offer, it's a big deal because you're not quite sure if you're ever going to get an offer again. When you're a free agent and you're past your prime, whatever. The game usually decides when it's done with you, not the other way around. Russell Wilson had that offer to play for another year in the NFL. You know what he told the Jets?
No, thank you.
Nah, I'm good. No, thanks. He is going to work for CBS. He's going to be a studio analyst for CBS. So he chose a TV job. He's like, yeah, I don't want to play for that crappy franchise. I'm good. I'm going to the studio. Thank you all very much.
Yeah, I mean, he's just getting into his new career a little bit sooner, a year sooner or 2 years sooner. It was getting towards you weren't going to trust Russell Wilson to do anything,
no.
You know, to get on the field and make you a winner. Yeah, he'd have been either that or he was going to go into coaching or whatever.
Well, he hasn't officially announced his retirement. That's the funny part. So I think like
at any time during the year, all of a sudden they can make a phone call to him. He can come out of the booth.
I think maybe we ignore Cleveland here. I think if 30 of the 32 NFL teams reached out to Russell Wilson and offered him a contract, he would say yes right now.
Really?
Or like week 3, if some quarterback goes down and you know, you need some depth in that room. I think he's absolutely chomping at the bit to still play.
That's interesting.
He just doesn't want to play for the Jets.
Just doesn't want to play there, huh?
I don't blame him.
Yeah, I mean, I think he'll do a good job in the booth, too. He should be that's what his career is from that point on, I believe, anyway, BK. And if he does a good job, he's just there a little bit sooner. That's all.
He's a goober. He's a weird guy.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, they love some of the cornball stuff that can happen in the booth.
Yeah.
And he will add to the cornball stuff for CBS.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
I'm with you. I think he's going to be very good. Now, yeah, there will be plenty of memes and plenty of jokes you could say about some of the stuff that he says.
Absolutely.
I think he's going to do really well in that role. And I'm sure he's getting paid. He's probably getting paid more from CBS than he would have been with the New York Jets, if we're being honest with you.
Well, then I'd go ahead and get in that booth.
Yeah, there's a lot of money that goes with those jobs.
And less hits.
And a lot less hits, too. You're not behind the Jets' offensive line.
No.
Which is a good thing.
So, but as you said, is that forced, or is it just that time in his career? Or is this a forced deal? Did he think he's actually good enough to play for a couple of years? Sometimes you just don't know. When it's time to retire, you're like, no, I'm good for another 2 years. I can take these hits for two more years. And everybody around you is looking at you going, no, you can't. I watch you play every day.
Oh.
You can't take any more of these. You can cash a check.
The way this thing is being reported is that Russell Wilson is putting a pause on his NFL career.
Oh, I see.
He's not stopping it.
No, you're absolutely right. Somebody will make a phone call him week three or four. He'll be in the booth and say, I got to go.
There you go. Yeah, we've seen it before.
Yes.
And, I think we'll see it again.
My goodness.
But nice work, Jets. Way to go, y'all.
He doesn't want you.
No.
And he's not even that good anymore.
No, he's not. All right, so there you go. There's your big NFL headlines, four of them on a Monday. Mm. Obviously, the biggest one, Myles Garrett, now a Los Angeles Ram. You had two All-Pro players dealt on the same day in June.
It's hard to believe.
Hard to believe, but hey, the NFL, they're always top of mind. They dominate the sports calendar, and yesterday was a prime example.
I think the Myles Garrett, the deal was just – that was just such a shocker. I mean, because that thing had gotten really, really quiet.
Yeah.
But as you said, you're just wasting away in Cleveland. If Cleveland could, you know, get draft picks for it, you should do it. You're not going anywhere. With Myles Garrett, you're not going anywhere.
No, it's a trade that makes sense for both sides.
It is.
And by the way, Aaron Donald.
Don't even say that guy's thinking about coming out of retirement. Please don't tell me that.
Within the last 48 to 72 hours or so, he's just been posting some videos.
Of him working out again?
Of him working out.
No, don't tell me they're showing him with no shirt on working out again.
And he looks good.
Oh, man.
If I'm allowed to say so myself.
There he goes again. No shirtless Aaron Donald working out. Walking around, standing beside his car in the driveway, looking good.
He's 35. Remember, he retired pretty early. Early 30s.
Man.
He is 35. Just turned 35 years old. So, I don't know. Now you've got Myles Garrett on that defensive line next to you.
Aaron Donald, sick of the kids and the wife. Time to go back and play with the boys again, huh?
Could you imagine?
Oh.
I don't know how much he's got left in the tank, but I'm sure there's something there.
There's enough.
The way he looks, work it out. And, you know, taking a couple of years off, sometimes that's good for the body, not taking all of those hits.
Yeah, and you don't think the Rams would say, yeah, come on back in a hurry?
Yeah, it's crazy. That is crazy.
Rams, when they go all in, they go all in, don't they?
Again, F them picks. They've only had two of their own first-round picks in the last 10 years. Jared Goff, when they had the number one overall pick, they had to take that dude and they had to take a quarterback. And then Jared Verse, and they have now traded both of them.
My goodness.
They don't like Jared. They did not go to Jared. And, yeah, they drafted Ty Simpson. It wasn't their first-round pick, but they did use a first on Ty Simpson this year. So they already have their quarterback for the future, at least the guy they think is the quarterback for the future once Matthew Stafford's playing days are done.
But they want this year. They want Matthew Stafford to go out with another ring.
But yeah, I mean, they gave him a new $55 million contract, reworked his deal, and they should be going all in. That is a Super Bowl-ready roster with a Super Bowl coach. And, yeah, watch out again for the L.A. Rams.
You're saying, folks, let me just tell you, there's money to be made on the Rams this year.
Wow.
It's
not the boldest pick you've ever had.
Yes, but
they might be favored in like 15 of their games this year.
Double-digit favorites.
Yeah, they're going to be favored a lot. We'll see if you and your cousin can can get that one done. All right. Speaking of your cousin, by the way, game one of the Stanley Cup final is tonight.
Yes.
Vegas at Carolina. Get your pick on that one.
I'm going to go ahead and pick a 100,000-unit play on Carolina at home.
Taking the home team in the
opener? I'm going to take the home in the opener, yes.
Let me check the line here and make sure we don't have to
Don't be trying to get a double for the price of one on me here.
I'll be nice. Carolina's minus 155, but I'll give you a clean one for one pick.
Okay, make a 200,000-unit play on Carolina.
Well, now I'm not sure I'm going to give you that.
Come on.
Nice pick.
Well, I'm down a little bit.
You're down 300K. I did take care of you. because you helped the Spurs win that game.
Oh, you gave me some credit for that? Because you pushed me into that. You know I was going to take the Spurs when you said you must hate Spurs fans.
Right.
And I let you know I do not hate them.
I want to be a show for the people.
Yes.
Right. I want both of us to be men of the people.
That was very kind of you. I was wondering if you were going to do that.
And the Spurs would have lost if you had bet on them in that game 7 in Oklahoma City. I convinced you to change your pick to OKC.
Yes.
The Spurs won. I didn't give you a win. I just didn't give you a loss. So that's a
wash. And what was that? That was a set like a 7-point line or something that day, was it not?
Four and a half,
okay.
But, you know, Spurs, wrong team favored in that one.
Wrong team favored is right.
As our guy Lee Sterling would say. So you're down 300,000 units going into the finals in both sports.
You people are going to get paid.
You're going 200K on the Raising Cane's of Carolina tonight. Obviously, game one of the NBA Finals tomorrow.
Yeah, Vegas needs to be set in their place real quick. They had a little streak going right now. They need a loss here.
Yeah.
They need to take a loss. Although Carolina's kind of running through everybody too.
Vegas only needed 4 to beat Colorado. Carolina needed a 5th to beat Montreal, but pretty quick work of their opponents in the conference finals.
I didn't realize Vegas over the only been in the league for 9 years.
Yep,
have been in the finals three out of the nine.
And they've won it once. They've lost it once. Now they're here for the third time in 9 years. Both teams are going for their second Stanley Cup in franchise history. Vegas won it in 2023. Carolina won it 20 years ago back in 2006. Carolina, the slight series favorite at minus 150. They were the best team in the East all year. Vegas barely got in the playoffs in the West. And, the best of seven.
Carolina's been in this league for 20 years now.
More than that. That was when they won their first ring. So, yeah, two hockey crazy markets, Raleigh and Las Vegas.
Wow.
That's curious what the TV ratings will be for this one. I'll be watching, but curious what others think.
So that starts tonight. That's Tuesday night,
tonight,
huh?
Tonight. Yep.
Good.
Yep.
On ABC. Thank you very much.
Yeah. The NBA and Stanley Cup Finals are both on ABC. So you will be able to watch from home. Fubi. What is it?
Fubo.
Tubo
or whatever it is.
Garbage is what it is.
Yes.
All right. In a couple minutes, we'll talk to Chris Phillips of SEC Unfiltered. Plenty of college baseball on the brain. The super regional times have been announced, so we'll get to that story.
Oh, cool.
We'll recap the crazy regional weekend in college baseball and start to look ahead to this weekend's action. But before we chop it up with CP, how about another round of sponsor shout-outs?
Folks, our good friends at Relax the Back. You know, for years my back had been just messed up for over 20 years, but I did find the relief that I needed, and I found it at Relax the Back. Folks, they have everything that you need. It's going to make your back comfortable, your neck, your thoracic, your lumbar area, your hips, your shoulders, everything. And they've got select zero gravity recliners that are available for you. And, of course, they got great office chairs. I'm missing my chair right now. But I'll tell you what, all the accessories that they have at Relax the Back, 2 weeks ago I was over at the store. They've got some different types of accessories, BK, that, I mean, they can hook you up even if you're in your own car. And, you know, you get your car seat just the way you want it. They have accessories that work right in your car with it. It's going to really make you comfortable. It's going to help your neck area, your shoulders area. But they've got it at Relax the Back. You name it, they have it. Two great locations, folks, in BK's at the Hill Country Galleria. It's right across the street from Whole Foods and in North Austin at the Gateway Shopping Center across from the Container Store. Live pain-free like the buck at Relax the Back.
Maybe stopping by Relax the Back on my way home today.
Yeah, a little accessory. You need that. You need the little golf accessory. You know, the little vibrating hammer thing that they put on. I see my guys out here every once in a while put that on their knees and their ankles and all that.
They're sharing the vibrator, huh?
Yeah, they're sharing their vibrator. How about that? I don't share my vibrating ball with anybody.
That's good. Yeah, keep that to yourself.
Thank you.
Nobody wants that, just so you know. Shout out Relax the Back. Also, a shout out to Audiovisual Consultations. You know what? We always talk about AVC. Let's let Tom McKay and the kid tell you about AVC.
Now, stepping up to the plate is a household name, weighing in at roughly 115 pounds with a wingspan of 98 inches. It's Samson.
Kid, I know it's baseball season, but this isn't what I meant when I said to incorporate sports into the company commercial.
Sorry, old man. I just want everyone to know that Audiovisual Consultations can make your home feel like a stadium.
That's true. Audiovisual provides stadium surround sound, huge screen video, controlled lighting, and even temperature control. On our roster, every customer is an MVP.
Sounds like Audiovisual knows how to score a home home run with our customers.
All right, kid, that's enough with the baseball puns.
But I'm trying to tell everyone that audiovisual is a real catch. You'll glove our services.
Kid?
There's nothing coming out of left field when you give us a call. We won't break your balls.
Kid, we only have a minute.
Pitch, please. I don't need your batitude right now.
Rest assured, listeners, audiovisual is much better at installing and designing custom home theaters than we are at making jokes.
Just check our stats. Give us a call at 512-255-8678 or visit us online at avconsultations.com.
Love it. Love it. Love it. And we also like therideproject.com. Oh, our good friend Matt King he's out there. He's on his journey, folks. 2,000-mile journey from Mexico to Canada. One mission: raise $1 million and give it directly to communities who need it the most. Meeting people face to face along the way. Matt is a special person. He's doing a special thing for not only the state of Texas, because he represents the state of Texas, but he represents mankind and the good part of mankind.
Yeah.
You know, raising $1 million and giving it away and giving it to folks that really, really need it. So you can still go to therideproject.com and give today, as he's still on his journey. We got Oklahoma yet?
He's
got to be out of that place.
He started today. Well, he was a little delayed this morning because of
weather. Of course.
He started the day on the Kansas-Oklahoma border.
Ooh, that's scary.
You know, KU and OU are playing in a super regional next weekend. Rock chalk. Everyone's going to be rooting for my Jayhawks this coming weekend.
Nobody's rooting for the Sooners.
No one's rooting for the Sooners. They did pull off a crazy upset. We'll ask Chris Phillips about that in a moment. But yeah, Matt King, it's really cool. He's got this vlog going on. You can find it on social media. Just search The Ride. You can also find it on YouTube as well. I mean, there's high-end production going into this thing. It almost feels like you are on the journey with him. And I love it because I don't have to get on the bike. Like, I'm on the journey with him. I donated, and I'm, like, following on social media.
Sure.
So I'm there.
But physically, you're not there.
But I don't have to do the work.
Yeah, that's good. That's okay.
He's doing the work.
Nothing wrong with that. Sometimes people don't need to be involved physically. You know, you monetarily, you're okay.
TheRideProject.com. If you want to be a part of it, man, it's really cool. Really, really cool thing that he is doing, helping folks all over the country. Some love to them and some love to SendTextTickets.com as well. What a great time on the sports calendar. And there's a lot of stuff that's close. It's not that far to get to Oklahoma City if you want to watch Texas softball Wednesday, Thursday, and maybe Friday. Obviously, you've got the Austin Super Regional for the Longhorns starting this weekend. San Antonio Spurs, about 10% off NBA Finals tickets. You seen the cost of those things?
Yeah, I saw what that was if you're going to New York especially.
Yeah, 10% off with SendText10. That's the promo code. You type that in at SendTextTickets.com. Any sporting event, any concert, any Broadway show, any festival, they've got
World Cup soccer.
World Cup soccer, Austin FC soccer. What's the difference? I don't know.
Yeah. There is a difference.
SendTextTickets.com. They have you, seriously, for any live event that you want to attend. Don't go searching 15 different sites.
No.
SendText has your back. And again, 10% off any ticket purchase.